Yo, 1, 2, 1, 2. What it do? It's your boy Skeeter Steve
and Nikki B,
and welcome to another episode of Lace Rhymes, where we need to give it to you for the culture and by the culture. Woo, man, what a week.
Absolutely.
Yes, what a week. Back up in here once again, man. But it's always feel good to be back, man. You know, just here, just, you know, just doing what we do.
Yes.
And I'm happy this heat is going away. Finally.
Oh, yes. I think today was going to be the highest that it is. I think this is the last hot day of the year, right? Out here?
Yeah.
Is it the 90s?
Yeah, because normally, I mean, like, Halloween is right around the corner, so it start winding down, getting cool, though, but sometimes it get cold. Like, you know, out here, it's always a hit and miss for us all the time, and I don't know why it's always like that.
Yeah, you know, it definitely fluctuates. I don't really have too much. With global warming, you really don't know what to expect at this point, so it's kind of hard to, like, really pinpoint it.
Right.
I'm just really grateful to be under, like I said in previous episodes, anything under 108, I am okay. And I know that sounds crazy, but being out here, you end up adjusting, but... yeah, so a very pleasant day. Can do the long sleeve with the shorts and start kind of breaking out those crew necks and getting in all the wears, you know?
Absolutely. Like, yeah, I really can't wait for that. Like, you know, came up on a couple of crew necks that was on sale this summer.
Okay.
So, I mean.
That's always the best.
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually excited for it, though, but... Before we get into this, though, I have to mention this. This weekend, I was able to watch that Kid Cudi movie, Intergalactic, on Netflix, and I must say, I'm mad because it wasn't in theaters It was that good.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what exactly is it about?
So it's pretty much a story about a single man. He just moved into his new apartment. You know, got a brand new job as a comic book artist.
Okay.
And he ends up falling head over heels for his neighbor.
Okay.
No, yeah, but the whole premise of the show is dope, and the music behind it was tight, and just hearing, like, the voiceovers from J.I.D., Vanessa Hudgens, and even Ty Dolla Sign was like his homie throughout the whole movie. So
it was
dope not only hearing his voice but seeing him as an animated character too. So yeah,
okay.
Like that movie, it was that good. That's I was like, man, like they really should have put this in the theater. So like, and
okay.
I really
and you said it's an animated movie.
Yeah,
okay.
I would have paid money to see that too. So I mean, yeah, Intergalactic on Netflix. So like, it was dope.
Okay, like, that's dope. Okay, that's so aside from like you said, those are pretty much the main characters in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ty Dolla Sign.
Ty Dolla Sign, Kid Cudi, J.I.D., okay. Vanessa Hudgens. She played I want to say she played the role of the girl that he was falling in love with the neighbor.
Okay.
And then it was just a couple of funny parts like in the movie, because before he fell in love with her, he was dating this girl that was his ex and whatnot, and like, you know, she was grilling him, and when he had told her about the new girl that she was seeing, and you know, niggas get hit with that question when she asked you, was you with her or was you with her? So, and like, they just had stuff in bold letters. So but overall, the movie was just, it was amazing.
Okay, and that's really dope. Since it's on Netflix, it's pretty accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
So that's really awesome. That's always a plus when you can get good recommendations for Netflix or Hulu or, you know, anything that's completely accessible, you know?
Oh, no, yeah,
especially,
absolutely.
The Amazon Prime and all that, the ones that you don't have to pay for.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sure,
absolutely.
So.
All right, well, let's get into it. Let's get into our honorable mention, because you already know here at Lace Rhymes, we always like to give our flowers to the people that's out there doing something for the community or trying something new, and they actually excelling and succeeding. So no further. First up, I'm pretty excited for this one. Bun B, Houston native, the rapper from one of the greatest rap groups of all time, UGK. His burgers, Trill Burgers, lands a restaurant residency here in Las Vegas. Yeah, so during his 4-week residency at two Las Vegas hotels and casinos, Trill Burgers will also debut a new steakhouse burger while he's here. And the residency is going to take place from November 6th to December 3rd. And so, you know, it's going to take place at the Luxor Casino inside the Public House and Mandalay Bay inside their casino and the Libertine Social, and where we serve Bumby's signature smash burgers alongside with specials, including the steakhouse burger from Trill Chef Mike Pham. And the pop-up is part of the Pepsi's Dig-In program, which launched the restaurant royalty program back in May to assist and incubate and generate exposure and support for Black-owned restaurants into the next Black restaurant industry leaders, according to the release. So how you feel about this?
I think that's phenomenal. We've been talking about the Bun B Trill Burger for a while, so I thought that was really cool, especially being accessible to us out here. Luxor, for those of you guys that aren't that familiar with Las Vegas, the Luxor and the Mandalay Bay are pretty much adjoining. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty dope that they're actually the both of the pop-up shops are in close proximity to each other, I guess. Yep. You know, that's kind of cool. You can have the opportunity to try both and just maybe do a cross comparison to the consistency between the two. I think it's a huge win for Bun B. It's really dope what Pepsi is doing as well on getting that additional exposure out mm-hmm. there for these artists and for those that are actually making solid contributions to the community. So, like I said, I think this is an amazing opportunity, and it definitely gives us the opportunity to go on ahead and check it out.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, we've been seeing it everywhere. He's been popping up at different concerts, different festivals, and even food festivals. And everybody's loving it. So, I mean, I'm excited for it to come out here so I could try it. Make sure I get it with no cheese, because I know if I get it with that cheese, it's going to be all bad for your boy. Very, very all bad for me though. But yeah, I'm very excited though, and hopefully it does great where he could be able to open up a restaurant here in Las Vegas. So I mean, I'm excited for that though. So
absolutely, it gives him that exposure to just because Vegas isn't limited. Of course, it's a tourist town, so you're gonna be able to get that word of mouth advertisement from people going back and forth to wherever they're from and everything, and get an opportunity to finally check it out. So you shout outs to Bun B, you shout outs to Pepsi, and we're looking forward to bringing you guys the reviews on that.
Oh no, yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's get into it. This week has been very, 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 very spicy for the culture.
Yes, it has. Before we get into the commentary for the culture, we just definitely want to highlight those that are, again, making solid contributions to the culture. Mm-hmm. And part of it, sometimes, you know, you do so much by not doing anything. Yep. And this is actually one of the cases. You know, earlier this week, Donda's son, that's what I'll probably be referring to him from here on out. But just so you guys can connect the dots on that, as Kanye West, he was set to actually make an appearance in LeBron James's The Shop Show, and they actually pulled the episode due to hate speech.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I thought that was a huge win. Just because we run into so much on a lot of these social media, not just social media, like more so outlets. Mm-hmm. When you get to these pages, these news sources, I should say, they've been really making a mockery of the whole situation and just kind of like following and just giving overexposure on all the negative things that's going on. So when you run into someone that has the platform and they can actually, like, this would have been a huge episode. Like, they would have been able to definitely get the ratings and what would be deemed to be, you know, sweeps week or whatever the case may be. This would have been a very successful show for them. But the fact that they went on ahead and decided that all money isn't good money definitely deserves that cheer there, just because they could have really capitalized on that. And it's really important, I personally believe, for us to all be the change that we would like to see. And partially of that is, you know, going on and not actually taking advantage and trying to capitalize on the culture. So huge shout out to LeBron James, Maverick Carter, and all the team over there on making that happen and just really drawing the line and saying, hey, you know, it stops here. We're not going to go on ahead and put that on our platform.
I'm not mad at it because I mean it's antics, and I like, for me, my saying is every sword has two sides. So I mean, like, with this, yes, it is good, like, they did pull it and they did what they had to do, but also too, I'm hoping too, while they're pulling it, I hope they're sitting down having a conversation with this brother, checking on this brother's mental to see if he's all right and see if he's okay. Because most of the times what we do in the culture, we like to point the finger, we quit the cancel, but not really seeing like what the issues was underlining, what's going on behind this man's mental, or just for anybody in that matter and in that case. So yes, I agree. It should have been pulled, but also too, hopefully he gets around like-minded people and brothers that could actually sit down and talk to him and ask him, just like, hey man, like, what's going on with you? You all right? Like, you good? Like,
you gotta be receptive to that also. Yeah. The thing is that when you kind of isolate yourself and you cut yourself off from those type of people that are scared to contest you, and you surround yourself by a whole lot of yes men, and nobody's ready to pull your coattail on there and hold you to a level of accountability. And obviously, you know, on the outside looking in, that really seems like what the case is. It's victims and it's volunteers. I'll say that every show, and I'll go on ahead and stand on that. And when we, you know, mental health, huge advocate for mental health, like, you know, in the industry and understand and all of that. But I won't allow anyone to abuse that also. You can't go around and just spread hate. And then, you know, on the other side, it's like, you know, we're supposed to go on ahead and also be empathetic towards certain situations. Like, yeah, get the help in private. But since we're going around and we're saying all these different things that's stirring up the potential, and it's very dangerous and extremely irresponsible at this point. So I have absolutely no sympathy towards that situation. I'm completely done with the guy. And, you know, I definitely send love and light. I don't want to see anyone suffering. But when you're putting everybody else at risk because of the way that you're going about by, and it's like, he's one person, but the other people that's following behind that situation right now, where you got the Candace Owens and you got the Ray J's and everybody else that's championing this type of behavior, hell no. And I won't. I'm not folding on that. That's bullshit.
It is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and Noriega did give him the opportunity this week to go on ahead and speak on Drink Champs, but this has been a very, very touchy subject ever since the whole other situation, and we pretty much decided to not really even go into that just because of the fact of, you know, certain aspects. And sometimes you really do need to ignore certain things in order to just, you know, it's a whole attention seeking type of behavior. It's like a kid that's going out their way for attention, and, you know, the best thing to do is ignore it. But there are times where you got to go on ahead and address and hold a certain level of accountability and call shit out. And in this case, again, huge shout outs to LeBron James, Maverick Carter, for making this happen, on just being one of the first to not sit there and champion those type of antics, because it has no place in our culture.
Oh no, yeah. So yeah, it is what it is. I mean, that's where we leaving it at. All right, moving on. Next one. Silk Sonic has respectfully withdrawn from the Grammy consideration. Silk Sonic would not leave the door open for an Album of the Year win at 2023 Grammy. In a statement delivered from Rolling Stone, Bruno Mars confirmed that the duo will withdraw their evening with Silk Sonic album from consideration. We're truly to put all of this on record, but Silk Sonic would like to gracefully, humbly, most importantly, sexually bow out submitting the album of this year, Mars said. We hope we could celebrate with everyone on a great year of music and partake in the party. Thank you for letting Silk Sonic thrive. Behind the introductory single, Leave the Door Open, Mars and Anderson .Paak won 4 Grammys at the 2022 ceremony. The album was not even eligible for this ceremony as it was released in November. Andy and I and everyone who worked on this project won the moment of the world, responded to Leave the Door Open. Everything else is just icing on the cake, he says. We thank the Grammys for allowing us to perform on their platform, but not once but twice, and awarding us for last year's ceremony. You know what? I ain't mad at that. I'm not mad at that. Because it's just like what they said, like they won those Grammys in from last year and the album like barely just touched the scene. So that's like, for one, how is that even possible? And two, who is in the room doing these votings for these albums? Like,
yeah, I thought this was amazing also just because of the fact, like you said, the album was fairly new. Last year they won, I want to say, Album of the Year. And when an artist steps in themselves and calls out bullshit, we have to go on ahead and acknowledge that, and we have to, you know, applaud that, because it's going to be times where, not saying that every artist is going to, they need to yield and take the responsibility of, say, for instance, the Academy and those type of rooms and everything, because they're not in those rooms. And, you know, hell, this is what you put your album out for, is to contend in these areas. But when you understand that there is a disconnection and, you know, there's more deserving artists that deserves that type of recognition, when the artists themselves can actually come out and say that, I'm a huge fan on that. And I think that's phenomenal on all of those that came forward and, you know, decided as a collective that that was going to be the way to go about with this particular, you know, with this nomination. You know, like, hey, thank you for the consideration, but, you know, there's other people that definitely deserves the recognition. Because when I think of Silk Sonic, I'm not minimizing them. Anderson .Paak and, of course, Bruno Mars, phenomenal dudes. And we know they're going to sweep just based on, like, Bruno, you know, being Bruno and just, you know, just the whole talent and all of that. But I've always taken them more of, like, a kind of parody type of group.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily take them seriously. Right. So for them to go on ahead and come on up, I think that's phenomenal. And yeah, that's a another noteworthy mention here, honorable mention.
Oh no, yeah, absolutely. And there you have it though. So all right, let's get into it. Commentary for the culture. Starting off first, Diddy been doing, like, you know, his run, little press run, getting ready to release the Love album pretty soon. So Diddy went on ahead, not only on the Breakfast Club, but also on Funkmaster Flex, urges New York rappers to stop following regional trends. We are in last place. And he voiced his issues with the lack of the identity in New York hip hop. He believes that the Big Apple has to stop biting other regions. And with this, what he said on Funkmaster Flex, saying New York City is being in the last place, he urged the city rappers to step up and embrace their roots. New York, we in last place, Diddy said. I'm here to tell y'all that shit comes to an end today. We're going to start doing us. The way you hear the beat in your head, do you. The way you move, do you. The way you dress, do you. Don't be doing them. God bless them. And he continued that New York cat is not supposed to be following nobody, nowhere, and for nothing, because we come from a rich culture of artists and designers and creatives. New York was always the leaders, and we don't blend in, B. We from New York. The fuck? But you know what, though? I'm not mad at this, because I'm just going to keep it real. He is telling the truth. So the niggas that's out in New York, y'all not championing them. I get it. You know, we champion the artists like, you know, Griselda, 38 Special, all them, Crime Apple, you know, being from the areas of New York, and even Joey Badass, where we just reviewed his album not too long ago, where he's still keeping that essence of the New York boom bap sound alive. Is any niggas or anybody giving that credit? No, they're not. Mm-hmm. There's so much on that drill sound, it's ridiculous. And so when he said what he said, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it. And he's right. He's right. The birthplace of hip hop, like, y'all in last place. Like, what y'all doing?
Well, in your words, it's a two-sided, you know, sword there. I believe, like, just as you just said, you know, you got niggas in New York getting busy. So I believe we need to just put more exposure on the niggas in New York getting busy. And they need to go on ahead and champion their guys more so, as opposed to just going, you know, drill crazy. So as opposed to just kind of going on the whole, like, the identity aspect, you guys do have an identity. Griselda is, like, really, really nice. They're really getting busy up there. So I can't really just really, like, co-sign on that. Like, as far as the younger guys, like, yeah, they went the Fabio Forns and all of that kind of deal. But that's what they're pushing behind. It's more so on the machine side rather than the actual artist. So
you
got to start pushing more of those artists that are out there with the sound and, you know, giving that type of authenticity. Because last time I checked, Griselda just, they just dropped another project that DJ Shay project.
Yeah.
So, and they stay dropping. Absolutely.
And even just early on this year, Dave East dropped a phenomenal project with the producers from the West, Mike and Keys. How did I get here? Like, that album is phenomenal.
And like you said, the Joey Badass, that one's sensational. So it's just more so where we put the attention. And I understand where he's saying, like, you know, in the sense of what's being popular, where all the attention is going.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it goes back to, like, you're sitting here having this conversation with Funkmaster Flex, and that's all he's playing. So you need to direct that towards that man.
Yeah,
as opposed to trying to come at the artist. Like, you know, Funkmaster Flex has, like, just, he was real vocal. Him and Conway got into it early, like a couple weeks ago, on this whole Simple Fact. So it's like, but this week is, we love Diddy, We love Diddy. But at the same time, this week right now, it's New York rappers. Last week it was R&B. So it's just kind of sort of like, hey, you ain't doing it right. You ain't rocking it right. Let me go in there and step in type of deal. It's not good because I'm not a part of it.
Right. No, yeah, absolutely though. So, I mean, no, I definitely agree with some of your key points that what you're saying though. But also too, like, you know, like they have to, like, really New York has to come together as a whole and really start collaborating with one another, because, I mean, not for nothing, Atlanta do it, and we see California do it all the time. They always collaborate with somebody, whether the nigga is super gangstified or the nigga is a backpack, lyrical conscious rapper. Like, they always collaborate. So, yeah, like, they need to start doing that. Like, you know, so, I mean, like, I'm kind of still leaning over that, though, but also, too, don't place so much of blame on the artist, too. The DJ's got to be willing to put that music out there and put it on the forefront, too, as well. So, yeah.
And you got to go on ahead and showcase those artists that are actually doing it. It's like, of course, you got to call out and you got to address certain problems and, you know, just to be able to really fix it. But ultimately, you want to showcase those that are actually doing the right thing also. That way they can go on ahead and set the example, because there's even down to Nas, like, are we serious right now? Like, even Nas is, like, still nice, and not like, and when you just went on to the point of the collaboration, Nas just stays like West Coast with collaborating with Hit-Boy and, you know, working with West Coast artists and, you know, so on and so forth. So it's just, I feel like it's more so on the push on these machines and everything, on the way that they're actually marketing these artists more so rather than, as opposed to just keep on shoving all these drill rappers down our throats we didn't ask for.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, though. But I'm just glad, though. I mean, he sparked the conversation, so that was good. Like, that was good. He sparked the conversation. All right, moving on. This one kind of made me happy, and this is a win for the culture. Freddie Gibbs revealed him and Jeezy squashed the beef with a hug, and it was beautiful. This is the stuff that, you know, people don't talk about in the culture, where people be squashing in their beefs and, you know, hash it out and be cool again. So this was dope to see, you know. And Freddie Gibbs has revealed that he has squashed his longtime feud with Jeezy after bumping into him at the airport. During a recent appearance on Bootleg Kev podcast, the Gary, Indiana rapper details the encounter with the former CTE war boss and express his relief at finally burying the hatchet. I seen him at the airport. Damn, that's crazy, bro. Royal premiere, nigga. He began. I seen Jeezy at the airport with his wife. I was with my girl. We shook hands, hugged, and we was just like, man, salute. It was just all like, damn, it was a relief for both of us. I feel like, and we exchanged numbers. We both got on the plane, and that was it. And that was the most beautiful thing ever, like, seeing him. And when you look back, it wasn't really nothing. That was just fucking a music disagreement. And I like this. I'm here for this. So since they didn't bury the hatchet, hopefully whoever, you know, do a project or whatnot, we can see a Jeezy and a Gibbs collab again.
Hopefully.
Yeah, like, yeah. But, I mean, I love seeing stuff like this, because even, like, with the culture, like, we tend to see a lot of things negative versus a few things positive, though. But this is positive, especially two amongst black men, where hey, like you know, y'all let a few run on for so long, where it's just all like, okay, all is sometimes in it, and it takes that. You see him, y'all dap it up, you know, hug, whatever, and then y'all exchange numbers, and then y'all go from there. So I mean, it's good to see they put this behind them, you know, because I mean sometimes it's stupid and pointless, especially if y'all know y'all was rocking with each other, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And Gibbs, you know, he cited that on his album, which is just, oh my God, that's like, it's really one of my favorites this year. But he cited that on his album on, you know, how Jeezy really put him on and showed him he could be a boss. And we all kind of go through different moments as humans. We're all doing this thing called life together. So with that being said, it is amazing when you can have a moment of growth and going ahead and move past certain situations like that. And I'm grateful that both of them are in a space where they could do that, because I would love nothing more than, you know, for a lot of them to just put their stuff aside and, you know, going ahead and be able to not only just on the like selfish side for myself, just on the collaborations, but it's just the point of like, life is too short to just be kind of like splitting hairs over stuff like that. So I'm glad that everything else was in order and that they were in a space to be able to do that. And, you know, with everything, that definitely shows some growth on Gibbs' side, because, you know, he's been getting into it with a lot of people. So that's really dope.
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, salute to Gibbs and the Jeezy. All right, next up. This was, I want to say, like one of the, like, craziest, like, weeks. All my Twitter feeds, Instagram was blowing up all because of this suit. Nicki Minaj and Lotto drag each other on Twitter while exposing DMs and phone calls. Like, really?
Yeah, it's real unfortunate. And, you know, of course, like, just to not keep on, like, you know, like, because I feel like we had discussed this. Maybe, did we talk about the Lakia one, the Nicki and Lakia? No, I don't think we did. Like, it happens so frequently. But Nicki Minaj, Lotto, they get into it on Twitter. You know, phone calls, receipts are being pulled, you know, all of that kind of deal. The main reason why is just becoming somewhat of a pattern with, you know, one of the individuals involved in this particular situation. It seems like every other week it's another female artist that this one is actually getting into it with. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just like, who's in the room on like actually calling people out. Like, you know, you got to still, in the sense of you, when you're getting your team together and everything, like, yeah, you know, you want to, everybody can't go with you, but right. You still want to make sure that you keep some people with you that's keeping it real with you at all costs, and they don't care, you know, about the consequences of it. And I think that it's a sense of accountability, that a lack of accountability being taken here, because every other week it's another artist. And if, you know, if it's one time, it's like, okay. Two times, it's like, all right, well, maybe, you know, they're just tripping. Three times, maybe, are they hating? Four times, it's like, okay, the fucking problem is you. That's what we're getting to. And I'm starting to see that pattern, and it's really unfortunate, because when we were discussing it a couple of weeks ago, I don't feel as though that lady lyricists and female rappers has the luxury of being able to beef with each other, just simply because it's such a small pool.
Yeah.
With the men, it's like, okay, you can get Freddie Gibbs can move around the industry, you know, getting into it, and well, maybe a Jeezy or, you know, Benny or whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. and still going ahead and get, you know, some good features on his album and still be able to work with certain producers and so on and so forth. But when you get with the ladies, it's like, you guys, like, we... And don't get me wrong, because who was it? Was it it wasn't Remy. It was one of them. No, it was Kamaya.
Yes, shout out to Kamaya.
Yeah, when she was like basically saying that we're not sitting there trying to make all the men get along, but the women, you know, the women, that's pretty much one of the biggest things. But the reason why is just simply because of the population of lady lyricists. And again, I personally don't feel like they really have the luxury to be divided.
And that's stupid. And I just feel like this, like, and she made a good point, like, yo, like, if I don't fuck with you, I don't fuck with you, and that's all right. That's cool. Like that's cool. But it's like you trying to push that on me. Like, yeah, but yeah, that ain't
no,
cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you don't like someone, you don't like someone, that's fine. But you don't gotta have all out, like, you don't gotta be shady about it either.
Yes,
you don't gotta
be
catty about it. You know, you don't have to like throw stones and then hide your hands and then try to act like you're not doing something. Like, it's real condescending.
Right,
so,
man. And Nikki need to sit down. What is she, 40 now?
I don't know how old she is. I just know that, like, it's really crazy because everything ends up coming around full circle. And what we're witnessing right now is kind of somewhat of that circle of disrespect that was given to Kim in the beginning of it all. So,
yeah.
You know, though, you know, we hate calling these type of situations out, but it is a part of the culture. Yeah. And for everything to come full circle, we have to also address these moments. Uh-huh. And we just really wish that, you know, in the illustrious words of Rodney King, can we all just get along?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like, you don't gotta like her. Like, right. You know, everything isn't gonna mix. Everything isn't gonna match and, you know, all of that kind of deal. But we're running into the situation where a lot of these girls are, you know, when they're putting their list together on dream features of who they would like to work on, right, work with, Nikki has always been top tier. And uh-huh. I've seen this with Lakia also. And when you just start picking at them and you're scared to, like, pretty much, like, embrace the nuance of these ladies, it's just, it's wild. You gotta do better.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. No, yeah, definitely, absolutely. No better to do better. All right, moving on. Fat Joe, you know what, though? This was very enlightening, and I'm glad that he had put this out. Fat Joe warns artists to watch their money after being scammed by accountants. Joey Crack has opened up about a complex Ponzi scheme run by his former accountants that robbed him and his wife of a well over six figures. When he was on the Breakfast Club, he explained and where he put the warning out to fellow rappers and athletes to keep track of their money and do not trust anyone handling their accounts. Us as creatives, we spend so much time. We're trying to take our creativity to another level, and we think we're supposed to trust these people, he explained. Every athlete, every artist, don't trust them. Don't trust a business manager. Don't trust accountants. The saddest thing is when you turn around and, yo, these people stealing from me. Ponzi scheme. It's not like a game. These people are really stealing from me, taking out fake credit cards under my wife's name. And the best way to protect yourself, according to Joey Crack, from the accountant scam is to go Oprah one-on-one route and watch all of your money. And I'm glad that he put that out there, because he said this was the second time that this happened to him, because the first time when it happened, he had to go to jail. Mm-hmm. Like, he had to do some time, but it wasn't his fault. And so when he had called it this second time, he just said he had that weird feeling in his gut that mm-hmm. someone right. And then once he started questioning, like, you know, the people, they saying, oh, we're not stealing from you, this and that, until he had got a call saying, oh, you're 6 months behind your mortgage, you're like 4 months behind the car payment. He like, wait a minute, what? Like, I got to, this was supposed to be paid for. And so he said he got rid of them and went after the company. And now, you know, he's suing the company for apparently these people that were supposed to have his back, but they really didn't have their back in their best interest. So, I mean, I agree with him with this. Like, you know, just have to keep everything accounted for, because don't get me wrong, this is hip-hop. We love hip-hop. This is our culture, though. But you have people in our culture trying to take advantage of us.
And it's in our culture, that's kind of like, that kind of comes in, like, visits. They're visitors, yeah, within the culture.
Yeah.
Like, to come and vulture off of it, you know, in the words, a culture vulture. Mm-hmm. And when you see that, it's like, because the whole aspect, when you get down to it, certain people that loves nothing more than to crunch numbers all day, mm-hmm, and loves clerical work and to do paperwork and all of that. But then when you run into, like, these creatives, like, you have your Basquiat's, you have your, you know, of course, Jay-Z's taking on a new land, and turn over a new leaf. And mm-hmm, I definitely believe that he's very engaged with his finances. But when you're going in the studio and you're making the music, that's what you're
yeah,
supposed
exactly,
to do.
Yeah.
So the last thing you're doing, and it's not just limited to rappers, it's athletes. Well, he mentioned that also, the rapper athletes, and it's just a constant type. And even on down to the entrepreneurs, you run into people that, you know, hit you up like, hey, let me help you out. Let me work, you know, let me take care of your finances and everything. And then you go on ahead and start getting alerts from your bank that people are just kind of like taking different things and looking at your accounts and just different things. So it's a very sensitive situation. The best advice that I would always, you know, just tacking onto what he's saying, mm-hmm, is get somebody that you can trust, and
right,
someone that's definitely just, you know, is financially satisfied themselves. Mm-hmm. Because if they are, they have, you know, you have very little chance of them trying to like mess themselves over. You want to mess with people that have something to lose, because just anybody just touching your money like that is horrible. But the same thing happened to Steve Harvey. He ended up having like so many issues with his taxes and everything because of accounting. And, you know, the entertainment industry, just definitely, you guys got to be active on your finances. And right. I know it's really, really hard, especially how busy you are. The last thing you want to do is come off tour and have to sit there and do that. But it is something that you got to end up learning to love the numbers, like Larry June, you know?
No, yeah, absolutely. R, y'all can take the LeBron route. Put all your day ones in college in those positions, and then once they all graduate and get their degrees, fire everybody in that motherfucker and put your people in that position.
Absolutely. another thing. You know, same thing with Allen Iverson, you know, his boy.
Oh, no.
Put that money aside for him and everything. So I thought that, you know, that, again, finding the right people to put in the right places.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, before we get into Can I Kick It, we got a new segment, Out of Pocket.
Yes.
Out of pocket.
Out of pocket. And it's just, you know, again, in order for us to, like, you know, how are we supposed to get up if, you know, that's the way we get down as a culture? And because we're doing this thing again, because we're doing this thing called life all together, mm-hmm. it's just going to be certain people that's just, like, completely out of pocket, regardless as to, like, how engaged or how much, you know, if they drop music or whatever they do, is just the point of us seeing it and being able to call it out and being able to like learn and grow from it. Automatic, systematic. Earlier this week, Sarah Silverman stepped up and had some choicy words or sarcasm, to say the least, to come at our Holly Robinson Pete on Twitter. And it's not okay. It's really messed up in a sense. Yes. It's really fucked up because, you know, this guy on Twitter just basically said it the best, and taking color and all that good stuff out of it, you know, like taking ethnicity off the table. But like he said, let's just keep it at a buck. The black race, like nobody calls people out the way that we call our people out. Like it'd be your own parent that'd be like, okay, no, you fucked up, and they'll turn you in themselves. Like they're not gonna sit there and try to justify it. Like, oh no, I'm gonna give them a stern talking to. It's like, no, you're gonna get your ass whooped when you get home, type of situation. Yeah. So we've all pretty much like that's pretty much within our culture, is to have a level of accountability and to not get those type of passes. Mm-hmm. So Kanye West, he has some, well, like I said, Donda's son, he has some choicy words for the Jewish community, and you know he definitely what. The things that he said were offensive. However, Sarah Silverman is now stepping up and saying that everyone's pretty much quiet, in the sense that he's not being called out by it. And it's like, okay, where the fuck have you been? Everybody's been calling this guy out for the last like at least couple of weeks, especially the black community. So Holly Robinson Peete, she comes in and someone said, you know, not sure, they're tweeting and they're like, not sure if you follow black Twitter, but you know, basically it's been nothing but countless pulls, you know, countless posts, you know, about this situation. And Holly Robinson Peete just simply put, you know, commented that part. And Sarah Silverman took that upon herself to go on ahead and reply and say, that part is all I'm hearing as far as any type of, you know, response to the comments that Kanye West has been making.
Jeez.
Yeah. So it's just, it's like, okay, you know, I feel as though that everybody has been extremely quiet, and it's been something that I don't want to get into a whole point of like evil is evil and hate is hate. I don't like comparing traumas. I don't do that shit. I think that anytime, any type of issue that goes against a human, you know, the human race as a whole, you know, we got to definitely call that out. So I'm not sitting here and minimizing what was said at all. I'm just saying that when it comes down to the different things, whenever he's lashing out on us and he's saying like the different shit to us, we don't get those type of coverage. Then none of these people come forward and fucking say anything. It's just right. us sitting here complaining and saying that this is a problem. But then, you know, now that, you know, he says something about you, it's like everybody's supposed to come out and say something, which we are, but it's not even like, it's just a form of division. So, you know, for that, Sarah Silverman, you are definitely out of pocket on that one. And Holly Robinson Peete, you know, she's definitely well within her rights. I feel as though that she's within her rights on that, on, you know, the whole, that part, simply replying that part on that, because I, you know, it's just, imagine just constantly being overlooked and gaslit on these situations. Like, I feel like this is a silent struggle and we just kind of take it all on by ourselves.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, though, man. You pretty much took all the words out of my mouth. Like, this is just, it's just weird to see, like, you know, just, okay, we always come into, like, you know, everybody else's, you know, aid and in that matter, though, but for you to go ahead and say what you said, I'm like, yeah, you out of pocket. Like, hey, yeah, I fucks with you. You funny, though, but this is one of those things where it's all like, I'm at a barbecue and you seeing two people arguing. Yeah, this is where I step away and walk that way.
Yeah, it's like, it's not even just like, it's your problem. Like, no, this is something that's, like I said earlier, this is something that's really an irresponsible and dangerous narrative that I personally feel as though is kind of being pressed. And, you know, the whole free thinking aspect, this, you can be as much of a free thinker as you want, but when we're starting to preach and, you know, push hatred and all of that, that's where the issue comes in. Me personally, me being the way that I am, I just can't sit back and like let those kind of like situations just slide. That's like, hell nah, you know, especially having the platform and being able to voice that and contribute some form of light and understanding to it. And that's just not cool. I don't think it is.
I know. You're right. Definitely right. You definitely right. All right. That concludes Out of Pocket. All right. Here we go. Can I kick it? And you know what, though? Can't even front, though. There were some pretty cool things that I done came across, especially this week. Especially starting off with, first up, with the SB Blazer mid with this brown and this pink. Now, I ain't gonna front. I'm not really too much of a huge fan on Blazer highs, but this one caught my attention. Like, tough, real, real tough. But just like with that brown and with that little pink, giving me like a good fall winter vibes. I'm not definitely wearing this in the summer though, but this like fall winter, like, you know, a bomber, brown hoodie, something simple.
Okay.
None too crazy with it. And I'm liking the suede on there, with the leather overlays, and also too, like, you know, in regards to reading this, a brown base with the pink constricting essence, completed with the white midsole and a pink rubber sole. And, you know, and of course got that, that gum bottom. Can't deny that. And, I think this is pretty fair. And, they said, we're looking at to get these in the skate shops either at the end of this month, or rumor has it now, Thanksgiving, aka Black Friday week, and they're going to be retailing at $90, which is, I think, is a fair, reasonable price. And it's like, for me, like, I'm fucking with these. I actually like these, because it's different, like different wear, like to the point where I could wear some black sweats with them, some light gray joints, or even just some light blue jeans, like, and the shoe is gonna make the jeans pop, and just and even like with a dark brown tee, or even finding a pink t-shirt with this pink colorway on there though. But other than that though, yeah, I'm feeling this joint. I like this joint.
Okay. I'm not really into blazers like that, but I, you know, like you said, it is a cool colorway. I do see potential for the winter, you know, especially maybe like a brown flannel, or like incorporating that salmon colorway in there as well. So I would like to definitely see it on someone else, but you know, these personally, they don't really speak too much to me.
Oh, they ain't resonating with you?
Nah.
All right. It's all right though. But I mean, yeah, that's a nice shoe though. I can't front. All right. Next up, Teddy Santis announced New Balance's Made in the USA collection of season 2, which we have three of them, three silhouettes, even though it's the 990 model, the 990 V1, V2, and the V3. So the ones that we're looking at is the top one, starting off first with the 990 V1, and then you have the middle, the 990 V2, and then towards the end, you have the 990 the V3. So this shoe is made for the footwear collection, continuing to honor the 40th anniversary of the silhouette shoe of the New Balance 990. And the border colors like Jupiter Maple and Weave with the original gray, navy tan colorways of a recent New Balance shoe, the 576. Long sleeve thermals are introduced to this collection to complement the wardrobe classics of incorporating seasonal colors like rich oak, midnight green, and a full assortment. This shoe is going to be released at the end of this month, October 27th, at select retailers, and you can get it at newbalance.com, and the price is going to be ranging from $190 to $200.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, like when it comes to like with these models, like the 990s, the V1s, the V2s, and the V3s, like, and people go ape shits over these, and it's crazy. I'm not a fan of the V1s though, but the ones that I am really digging a lot out of these threes is the middle, the V2s, because the how they're shaped, and just even on the back of them. I had a pair of V2s back in the day though, but I ain't gonna lie, I ended up selling them like a dummy, and I wish I shouldn't have did that.
Okay.
You know, but once again, comfortability is always on a 10 when it comes to these New Balances, where to the point like you could really wear them all day if you really wanted to though. But it's just like when they do these certain models, when they bring back like a model of the shoe where it's like a lot of hype behind it, then the ones that they be taxing, and these unfortunately, like, this is a tax, and what's so crazy, people are actually going to buy these too.
Yeah, I can see why, you know, especially the 576 model. I think that's the best out of the three.
Okay.
The other ones are, you know, hey, you know, whatever you're fancy, but those are the ones that I feel like are the better ones out of the three. And yeah, no complaints on those. Like, I like the neutral colorways. It looks like, you know, something that you could really do a lot. I like the kind of, what is that, almost like a sail on a hill back there.
Yeah.
So I'm really a sucker for sail, just simply because it already gives that off-white kind of more of that creamy feel. So these all look right, pretty
all
dope.
Right, all right.
I like those. But yeah, the pretty much all three pairs are the same colorway. So you guys just definitely take your pick on which one works better for you and your wardrobe. But the 576 is probably going to be where I'm going to go with that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that ain't bad at all. That ain't bad at all. That ain't bad at all. Okay. So all right. So we got two, y'all, for Nikki. She got the 574s and she feeling the 576. Like, we're on a roll.
Yeah.
We're on a roll.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Nike KD 15 is getting the Unk Pearl colorway. Kevin Durant homage to his late Auntie Pearl continues with the Nike KD 15 as the sneaker features pink roses and continues to wear awareness of cancer and pay tributes to KD's late auntie who passed away from lung cancer. The sneaker features a tonal pink look with a mix of mesh and suede throughout the sneaker. The TPU cages seen in the medial and the lateral side seen as pink well, which over the swoosh over a geometric pattern. KD's logos are on the tone patch that stitched on the top of the floral design of the tone. The KD 15 Unk Pearls is set to drop October 21st, Nike.com. And price is gonna be $150. I'm not a huge fan of KDs. But people that are, like, I could see this being a cop for them, and especially,
right,
like,
especially for the KD aficionados, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, especially, like, the people, like, you know, around that time, like, oh, 9, 10, 11, 12, like, when, like, KD's was, like, really, really catching a lot of hype. So I could see a lot of those people grabbing that. And then just not only that, though, definitely have to salute where, you know, he's showing awareness to cancer and just paying tribute, you know, to his late auntie who passed away from cancer. So that's always good, though. But
Absolutely. Yeah. I love the story. I love what the shoes, you know, signify. Mm-hmm. However, are they personally going to be a pair of shoes that I go grab? Maybe not. But, you know, I definitely, you know, for him to take his platform and to bring exposure and honor his aunt, that's definitely, you know, something that you would like to support. But, you know, as far as the colors and everything, it's just not me. But, yeah, I love the message behind him.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, me too. So this week, that concludes our Can I Kick It? So y'all feeling any of these? So, you know, definitely let us know. Let us know, like, for real. All right, moving on. Check the rhyme. So first up, we got the Atlanta native, Grip. 5A and a fuck you. And you know what? Came front. This is like, I enjoyed this album. Yeah. I think, yeah, before we get into the other joints, I have to say this is my favorite.
Okay.
Yeah, this is my favorite because I've been following Grip for a long time. He's been coming up, and not only that, though, too, he was recently signed to Eminem's label, Shady Records, too, as well, while he's still doing his thing on Straight Society, though. But this album had 11 tracks, only 35 minutes long, though, but he's getting busy.
Yeah, definitely
getting busy from Cook Up to, and right after Cook Up, 94 Flow, that this gave me, like, some 90 vibes, and Teddy Boyd on the production, Latrell James. Shout out to Latrell James on this production. He killed this, and this just gave me, like, some, even though from being Atlanta, he gave me East Coast vibes on this.
Yeah, this one right here definitely gave Busta Rhymes vibes, and he really, like, he's spitting. Every song on this album, I was highly impressed by this project. I came into it with absolutely no expectations and didn't know what to expect. But he delivered every song, and every song gave a different type of a feel, too.
Oh, no,
it wasn't anything that was like, okay, this is starting to sound like the same thing over and over. This album definitely does have replay value, so I highly recommend it. I enjoyed the Cook Up. I liked damn near every song on the project. Like, it was a really good one. I'm not gonna even front, this was my first introduction to him.
Oh, man.
And yeah, it was real serious. I thought that the project was just amazing. Him coming out of Atlanta, like, with the JID type of, like, a somewhat, like, flow, but, you know, not quite. Still having his own type of sound. Like you said, on some songs it sound, we got some West Coast type of vibes, and then on others we got East Coast vibes, and then, you know, you stay true to the Atlanta sound as well. So I believe that this was really one of the better projects released this week, for sure.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Another standout for me, too, was Value Mall. This dude, like, he can't go wrong, and I just love the direction that he's going in, and his popularity is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So I'm not, like, I can't wait to see, like, you know, what else he do, though. But this joint right here, I was like, had this on repeat, like, literally for a whole day.
Yeah, for sure.
But this project was just very amazing from beginning to end, though. So you guys here at Lace Rhymes, telling y'all, highly, highly recommend check out Grip. 5A and a fuck you. Since this is your first introduction, I'll make sure I'll send you some stuff from his past projects, too, because he got some dope projects. So in his catalog, like, for sure. All right, next up, the Vallejo native, LaRusso. I hate when life's going great. All right. This one, 11 tracks, 27 minutes. And you know what, though? It was okay to me. It was definitely okay with me. Have some takeaways from it. I like the opener run. I like How to Make It. Definitely enjoyed Perfect Timing. And I enjoyed I'm Good, though, too. Like, really. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, like, if you don't guys don't know about La Russell right now, like, guarantee you guys, you'll end up liking them. And you know what, though? Honestly, like, I feel like La Russell, too, is a breath of fresh air, too. Like, he's not really, you know, not rapping about, like, what all the other rappers rapping about. You know, he mm-hmm. just really doing his thing. And that's why I enjoy him. And, like, you know, so, you know, he don't really, like, you know, rap about the jewelry, the killing, the hoes, this and that. Or even just, I don't even consider him as a, even, like, a lyrical conscious nigga. He's just rapping because he like to rap.
That's yeah, how, he's definitely having thing. Fun with it. Like you said, the beginning of the album just really, like, it didn't resonate with me because of just pretty much, like, I'm assuming where I'm at right now in life. But more towards the end, the songs just, they definitely picked up and they got a little bit smoother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I gravitated to the second half of the album a little bit more than the first half. But like you said, he's definitely at a point where he's just doing, he's having fun. If you're not really tapped in with La Russell right now, what he's doing in his backyard.
Oh, and man.
Just his inspirational, like, he's really, like, that's the best way to I feel like, to define him, or to, like, if there was a category to put him in,
right,
he would more or less give me more of Chance the Rapper type of vibes, more so than anyone, just simply because of the message that he sends, and like you said, he's having fun. You can really feel his energy through it, through the songs and everything, but it just really depends on where you're at certain moments, and there's going to be moments, of course, where you're having fun, you're doing something that you want to do, and these songs might resonate with you, but, you know, I'm ironing clothes and shit. I'm like, I'm not having fun at this moment. So I was like, okay, next song, you know, right, and then it just kind of ended up, like I said, it rolled into, like, a, you know, a couple more smoother tracks, but he's definitely talented. The production and the last song, how many songs was that?
I want to say it was 11.
Okay, yeah, 11 songs. 11. Yeah, so... And you can't really automatic systematic too. You got to commend what he's doing out there.
Yes,
he's
taking
he's having the concerts in his backyard. He built a stage back there.
Mm-hmm.
He's also doing the whole project where he's doing like what $1,000 pay what you feel.
Pay what you feel. Yeah,
you know. And you know, I even got a shirt from him from the pay what you feel type of deal. And it was like,
I couldn't
bring myself to doing the whole like $0. So I ended up paying like $20 for my shirt. But I thought that was really cool in the sense that he allowed that type of, like, donation and allowed that type of leeway, because ultimately the biggest thing is getting the message out.
Uh-huh.
So, and for people to see your product. So I thought that was really sick. And what he's doing and his avenue and his spirit and everything is a beautiful spirit that we need more of. And I'm excited to see where he's going. He just celebrated a birthday. And
sick. No, yeah, so, I mean... Y'all go ahead and give this a listen. I hate when life's going great. All right. Next up, before we get into our, if you don't know, now you know. Quavo and Takeoff, Only Built for Infinity Links.
Mm.
You know what? Next to Grip, I actually enjoyed this project.
I really enjoyed this project.
Yeah, and the reason why I enjoyed it, for me, this lets you guys know, like, yo, like, hey, they're a dope duo.
Honestly, like, no, this is something that probably a lot of people don't want to say, but shit, they're better.
Yeah.
They're fucking better.
Yeah.
They, like, it really, because I feel as though that it may take off, like, step up a little bit more, because I'm assuming it'd be the same type of situation if we had three people here. It'd be that whole dynamic of having the time and everybody being able to get their shit off in a certain amount of time. So with the two, it's just an amazing... I feel like they're better as a duo as opposed to a trio, just simply because the timeshare.
Oh,
Takeoff definitely has his shit to say. Like, I've been saying it, you know, for a while.
He really stepped it up, because I'm not even gonna lie. Like, what was this, like 2 years back when they all did their solo albums?
Hey, Tay, don't you dare. Don't you dare fucking talk about Takeoff. Hell no. No. No, that shit was dope. That shit was dope. Did you see the video? Like, I'm going to be honest with y'all. Like, if y'all go look at Takeoff's videos, that shit is hilarious. Like, it's some of the funniest shit that you'll see. Like, I can't remember the exact song, but he's there by himself. And it's like all pure Takeoff. So one of my things that I've said is that Takeoff's been carrying Amigos for like a very long time. You know, he's been doing it.
No,
I'm just fucking with you on that. I don't want nobody to get too sensitive about that. But I'm just going to say, Takeoff.
He definitely stepped it up.
And it's like, it ain't nothing like basically... So you stepping away from something and you're not missed.
Right.
You know, whatever the politics was behind the scenes and everything. But this Migos album was definitely better than the culture all that other shit that was dropping. Like, this one was really, really sick. And then I love the transparency on the songs and kind of like all the shit they was talking. I enjoyed it. What was my favorite song on there? I want to say Messy.
This one was a favorite of mine.
I like Messy before I even heard the, because I knew that, you know, everybody was going to highlight that the Carisha Please line.
Yeah.
But it was just the flow of the song. Like, I'm like, you know, cleaning up, packing and shit. And I heard the beat. And I'm like, okay, because when you're playing albums, you're stepping away from shit and you got to look to see what the name of the song is or whatever.
Right.
So I had to come back and find, look like, okay, because I like this one. I'm like, all right. But yeah, that shit just, they
slappers.
Yeah.
No, slappers.
And all the shit, like I said, from coming on the QC and everything,
like I was impressed. I was like, okay. And then, hey. What a great way to put a spin. This is how you sample some shit right here.
Welcome to Atlanta, baby. It's bigger than magic. What young nigga?
Y'all make me feel like every time when I go to Atlanta, I gotta play this now. I got to. This was like, to me, was like the best track on the album. It's like how they put the spin on it. And just not only that, though, too, when they went into the next 16, I don't know if it was either Quavo or Takeoff just highlighting when Andre 3000 was saying, "We are the coolest motherfuckers on the planet," mm-hmm. and they put their own spin on it. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Yeah, I thought that was dope. Like, I still stand on the fact that Messy is the best song on the album to me.
Oh, no, yeah, but no, that's not.
Yeah,
Messy's
that one
dope.
Was smooth.
No, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that one, they didn't miss, especially for this to be shit. Again, it's like, okay, like, you step away. We went, you know, like, what did Ice Cube say? I dropped four niggas, now I'm making all the dough. No, like, yeah.
Y'all saw it coming. That's like, why I went solo. But they ain't no solo.
They went to a duo. That's why we dropped the trio.
Oh, yeah, though. But No, I'm definitely fucking with this, and I like it. So everybody that's out there, like, you know, if you ain't got a chance to listen to this, please listen to Only Built for Infinity Link. So now,
which is also a nod to, you know, the illustrious Wu-Tang,
Raekwon. Only, yeah, that's why,
Only Built for
and
Cuban
you know
Links.
What, that, and that's why I
and they also kind of did a play on the cover somewhat slightly with you know, with the two of them and everything kind of similar to Ghost.
And you know what though too, now I'm gonna go ahead and say this though too. So I used to give the Migos a lot of shit. But now listening to them, I even went back, did my homework, watching past interviews. I can honestly say, my bad, y'all.
It sounds like you just didn't like Offset.
Nah, these niggas, nah. These niggas is real. These niggas is real hip hop heads, and that's what I like. And the fact that I heard that Takeoff and Quavo are like huge time, big Kendrick Lamar fans.
Okay,
yeah. So I mean, I can respect that. I respect that, and even though he ain't on this album, Offset, he a huge...
Don't you say sneaker fan. Don't you dare.
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you was about to say sneakerhead. I was about to cut the cameras. Let me get the fuck out of here tonight. I thought you was about to go there. Go ahead.
He a fan of Andre 3000. So
okay, cool.
So, honestly, like, them as a group, and even them two as a as a duo. They're really fucking hip hop heads, and like, yo, we really got to start giving them the credit that they really deserve.
Yeah, like, it's like you got to open. You don't want to be that person like that's just always shitting on like the new waves because evolution and everything. Yeah, how I said,
don't be that old bitter old ass person that's hating the new people. Like, no, stop.
And shit. This album was a revelation for me. It's like it wasn't the Migos. It was one attribute that was just kind of like annoying, and it's absent here, and I liked it better.
It was dope though. So y'all go ahead.
And then it's so wild too because we heard Offset on that Gibbs project and everything, and his sound is like completely like different. It's real weird, crazy.
No, super crazy though. So if y'all haven't checked it out, go ahead and check out Quavo and Takeoff. Only Built for Infinity Links. All right, moving on. You already know we back again with the segment. And if you don't know, now you know. All right. This week, if you don't know, now you know, we got a rapper hailing from the Long Beach area, way by name is Rose Parade. But also too, his cooking IG too called Bixby Knows, and he does seafood .
Okay, yeah. I've seen those seafood boys. Does he do those out here?
He does them out here. Okay. So he bounces back and forth between Vegas and California and does them out here. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay.
So he brings a smooth, uncontested sound to the ears with every recording, and he has worked with artists and producers such as TDE's own Av Soul, Willie Ichabod, Don Brown, Tay F from BBM, Jarius, J-Mo, Mosey, and Renee Brown. And this dude, he's really been putting in work, and he's growing. He just recently put out a TikTok of him doing a live version of his song Riding, and I want to say the shit is looking at 20K. Okay. I was like, damn. And the song is, I ain't gonna front, pretty smooth. Got a little vibe to it.
Yeah, said I'm just riding around this motherfucking city all day. Feeling like the Vegas man in my wood is all K. I just throw my flag round like I'm reffing. And you know it's crib, don't even ask the question. I ain't stressing, not a man, other nigga. Hands like a ninja, bitch, I got a handgun for what my hands can't do. I don't miss it like a Mr. Dude. Please don't tell me what your fist to do. You ain't about it, you ain't getting rowdy, you ain't with the crew. You an enemy, then when you see me, nigga, get to swing. On sight, but on the fence like Feeny, quit your blinking. I'm a gangster fool. Shout out to you if you're gangster too. Gangster lean, got a gangster bitch. We fun like gangsters do. You ain't grilling hard enough. Make you peel off in your
jacket.
How'd you get introduced to him?
How I got introduced to him? Actually, too. Fun fact though. He was already putting out music before though, but he went under another name called Adam Rose.
Okay.
And he had a song out years ago. And I was just very, like, you know, like, very fascinated by it. It's called A Cool Crib because he's originally from Long Beach, California.
Okay.
And yeah, and I've just been seeing him just grinding. He took a little break, and he went on a hiatus, and then he just came back out of nowhere with this, and then all of a sudden, seeing him on tour with Dizzy Wright,
okay,
him being in the studio with Av Soul, and so I was like, "Well, like, what you doing, brother? Like, what you doing?" And then he actually, you know, got at me,
okay,
yeah,
okay.
And it was like, "Hey, man, like, I love what y'all doing at Lace Rom." So he was like, "Yo, like, check this out. If you fucking with it, let me know. But if not, you know, give me the real deal." And so, like, well, I gave this song Riding a chance, and I actually enjoyed it. Like, okay. it gives me like a vibe where I could just roll all my windows down, you know, just catch a breeze while this going on, or whether, like, you know, I'm cleaning up or something though. But I'm really, really digging the track and just really, really digging his vibe and everything, you know. So I mean, like, even though he's from Long Beach, he is a gangster though. But he was like, "Hey, I'm just the nerdy, cool ass gangster."
I can feel that, and I definitely, you know, the soulfulness of the track and everything, that's really something smooth, you know.
Oh,
like,
no,
really,
yeah,
like you said, it's definitely writing music.
Oh no, yeah, sure. Absolutely. So I'm really looking forward For more projects that he's going to do, giving us more music, or hopefully give us an EP, you know, sometime. Either I'm hoping at the end of this year, or if not the end of this year, beginning of next year.
Okay.
Because I wanna hear some more music, especially if it sounded something like this. So I mean, I definitely enjoy this. So you guys, if you never peeped or never heard of Rose Parade, I remember. Hey, check him out. He's dope.
And if you don't know, now you know.
Plain and simple.
Yep.
Yeah, plain and simple. All right. It's about that time. Let's get into this classic corner.
And now for my next number, I'd like to return to the classic.
All right. Let's take it back. 2011. November 1st. Here we go.
La 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 la.
Inspired by women, niggas say that I treat them different. Niggas be bitches, OD bitches, I don't see no difference. Shawty, my aim is different. DC, my English iffy. Solo I be, but I'm on my feet. I got these angels with me. Tired of making.
Come on, man. He was already steaming, heating up. Mixtape after mixtape, album, the first album. Then we get to this.
Yeah, I'ma let the chips fall. Niggas is Kimba Walker, try and see me pitfall. Niggas is snine like a synagogue. Think about it, cinephobe bitches probably couldn't get a drink about me. They say I need some.
Come on, man, and this. Honestly, I think this is like my favorite. Nigga was so cool, he made you want to wear foam posits.
Who would believe this rap shit that helped me wear love? Type of life a nigga killer go to jail for. Yeah, can't wait till the wheels down. And I'm amazed you clown niggas are still around. Smoke a haze out over town like it's allowed. I like my woman soft spoken, but the weed loud. Catching heat floor seats and we all fresh. On course seats, the course seats, it's progress. Of course, tell them other niggas man up.
We already know. Blew up with this joint. Had everybody on this.
Yes, absolutely.
I want to enjoy the luxury.
Man.
Not knowing each other for real. Hold up.
Lord, it's flower bomb.
Fire.
Firefly. When I'm low, she take me high. I can teach you all the sounds of love.
Flower bomb, let me guess your favorite fragrance, and you got that bomb. I'm trying detonate you, no disrespecting, baby, just trying to make you smile. Try to keep my spirits up, that's why I lay it down. Try to keep your spirits up, little vodka, whatever. Took it forever to get dressed. I acknowledge your effort.
So I clap. Yes. Y'all don't know, now you know. This is my pick for Classic Corner, Wale. Ambition. Yeah, I know you laughing. Go ahead, come on.
I'm just sitting here. Definitely, like a chick, because we just were talking about it, man. I, like, fucking, what was it? What is this? Oh, I, what are we at? It's about 11 years. So, but okay. So yeah, I thought we the 20 year mark on a classic, but I got you. Yeah. Nah, I'm just fucking giving you. I'm just giving you shit right now.
But definitely.
You know, this project was a great follow up to, you know, Attention Deficit.
Yes.
And it just really gave us more of the other side of Wale, where I feel like Attention Deficit was more on his grunge, like, you know, kind of almost like just got to make it type, the roots influence and everything. Mm-hmm. So this one really had, you can definitely feel all the Rick Ross residue, the Maybach music all over this project. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's something really smooth and timeless. You got the Lotus Flower Bomb on there. You got the That Way by Jeremiah, which is one of my favorite, that has that that Curtis Mayfield sample. I think that is, you know, of course, like you said, it's really smooth. I know a lot of the ladies that got them through college and all of that type of deal, and just gave that extra boost of encouragement.
Man,
so,
2011,
yes.
What a time to be alive.
Yes,
what a time,
yes.
What a time to be alive. Yeah, that's when I was still in the clubs, like being a fuck boy, you know, but I'm a changed man, you know. But man, like this album too, not only like it definitely holds weight though, but also too did great numbers. Selling 164,000 copies within this first week, you know, and that's
okay.
And this is around the time like where CDs wasn't really all the way phased out, so you still had CDs and people downloading it on Apple Music, because that's fairly Apple Music was kind of new around that time. Mm-hmm. So to have that push and doing those numbers in both lanes is just it's just phenomenal. And also too, it peaked at number one for R&B and hip hop and rap album. Like for real, like this. And I can't front. People may get mad at me, but who gives a shit though? I feel like out of his catalog, this is his best work by far. Like by far, like in his catalog. Like and there's a difference. I'm just gonna tell everybody that there's a difference. I'm not even counting the mixtapes because it's a difference. We have mixtape Wale and we have album Wale.
Mm-hmm.
So album Wale, this for me, my opinion, this is like his best body of work by far. Like literally. Cause like for me, you gotta think. Like Drake just recently, not too long ago around that time, was Take Care, and then didn't we get Kendrick Section 80 that year too, if I'm not mistaken, or the year before?
It was pretty much, I think, I feel like it was 2011. If not, it was 2012, but pretty much 2011, Section 80.
Yeah, because you got to think, like, to me, I feel like around this time, like, if I could compare this, like, the NBA, like, all the rookies just coming out, like,
yeah, absolutely.
Swinging. Him, Dom, Crit, Nip, Kendrick, Drake, Cole, Mac Miller, like, everybody just
mm-hmm.
coming out, like, swinging in for him. To come out and put this project out was just dope. And then just not only that though too, let's just even talk about the trends and the styles around that time. Like Wale, this nigga is like the king of the phone posits. Like he had everybody and their mama wanting to wear phone posits because of him.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that and just not only that though too. Very influenced on the DC, the go-go sound, because you could definitely hear a little bit of that go-go sound in this album two as well. So I mean, this album, it holds a lot of weight. It aged very well, and I feel like it's going to keep on aging very well. Yes, I said it, and I stand on that.
Yeah,
I definitely stand on that though, because I mean, right now, like what you said, you throw on That Way with Jeremiah, you're letting that ride all the way through. You're gonna let Lotus Flower Bomb ride all the way through. And if you really a fan of the album, you're gonna let Illest Bitch ride all the way through. Like he has a lot of tracks on here. Like shit, you might just end up playing the whole fucking album. Like for real. And I did. Like I played the album in my headphones, played it in the crib. Played it in the car, and just the quality overall, like it was just amazing. Like no skips for me.
Okay.
Like at all. Like all yeah, right. Yeah, no skips.
Well, I'm happy for you and your pick.
Care to elaborate on anything on this album?
I said what I said.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Ooh, wait. No, man. But I'm kind of glad that that I did this though, like you know, because I just feel like it was sooner or later though we're gonna have to start giving that shine though, because like you know, these certain albums and even around that time like made us feel some type of way and just like you know just made us feel good, like especially 2011.
That was a great year for music, that was like almost like borderline like 2005. That was an amazing year for music, but 2010, 2011, that was a great time because not only were we getting, and you know, you got the Wale and everything, but at that mm-hmm. time we were also getting Fly Union.
We were getting
the UNIs. We mm-hmm. were getting all of those artists that the Overdose. We were getting those artists also. So that aren't necessarily like that doesn't necessarily get the recognition that I personally feel as though that they deserve. So I think that that was such an amazing time. That was so, and like you said, 2011 for Good Kid, not Good Kid, Mad City, but Section 80, and then you got to Take Care and all of that. So he definitely was a contender at that time, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that this is like a grail in a lot of, you know, people's library, but, you know, I just was, you know, on other stuff.
Oh, no, yeah. I know what you're thinking, but I'm not going to say it.
No. What am I thinking?
What
am I thinking?
I just know what you're thinking.
No, say it.
No, because I know about your stipulation rule. Okay.
Okay. No. Because what? The 2011, like I said, I was like just kind of like listening to other stuff like at that time period.
Oh, okay.
So that's all I'm saying. Like I was listening to other stuff.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, like, you know, Lotus Flower Bomb, when it hit the radio, and I know that this is an amazing, this is in a lot of, especially my homegirls, this is top tier for them.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Especially like one of my day ones, shout out to my boy Adrian. Like he is a huge Wale fan. Like
okay.
For real. If you say anything bad about Wale around him, oh yeah, he's gonna argue you to death. Like
okay. Well, we gotta welcome him to the show one day.
For real. He will argue you to death though. But so you guys, this was my pick this week for Classic Corner. Wale, Ambition. You know, so I mean, hey. That's what it is, though. But, man, Camp Front, coming to a close. Had fun with you.
Yes, you know, as always, really, you know, labor of love on being able to do this for not only for ourselves, but for those that are tuned in and everything. This personally cannot continue without, you know, everyone's constant support there.
Man,
so I think that is phenomenal. I really enjoy
it. Oh, yeah, too. Before we get up out of here, hey. Shout out to everybody on Instagram and TikTok that went up on the Freddie Gibbs post,
oh,
man.
Oh, yes,
man,
yes.
Like, y'all was really interacting, engaging, and just
especially
showing
love.
Especially
for the wise ones that chose Alfredo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for Instagram. And also, too, thank you for everybody that chose Bandana, because we know where it is and we know what it stands on. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, but both albums were good. So, I mean, hey.
It really wasn't no right or wrong answer unless you chose Bandana. I'm just fucking with you. Nah, Bandana, honestly, like, shit, that was a great one, because it's really tough, like, which one is which. Like,
absolutely.
Damn near asking you to, like, choose some.
That's like asking you which is better out of Tupac, All Eyes on Me or Machiavelli.
That's gonna be tough. Yeah. Or it's like asking you which one's better, Iron Man or Only Built for Cuban Links.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's almost blasphemous. Are you the devil? Like, why are you asking me this? Like, I always hate playing that one guy to go, but everybody still has their own kind of like preferences and certain things also.
Absolutely. So, man, I mean, thank y'all for your love and support. Go on ahead and follow us on our social media, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, you name it, we on it. Go ahead, subscribe to Apple, Google Play, iHeart, Spotify, SoundCloud, any audio platform, you name it, we on it. Rate, subscribe, leave a comment. Tell a friend that tells a friend
that tells another friend.
You know what I'm saying? So, yes, like, we loving all the feedback and everything, man. So, yeah, like, keep on supporting it. We're gonna keep it coming. Like, for real. We're definitely going to keep it coming. Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds like it's sending us home.
Yes.
Again, thank you guys all for tapping in. It's definitely all love. And we appreciate you guys and all you guys are doing as well.
So, until then, this is your boy, Skeeter Steve.
And Nikki B.
Lay strong. So, we out.